Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
We'll do it live. Fuck it.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, February 24, 2022, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, hello, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello, day 402 of the Biden-Harris administration, 257 days until the 22 midterms. Find me on Instagram, TheBobSeska is my handle, and on Twitter at BobSeska_go. And look, sitting right over there, it's the Goth Ninja. It's Jody Hamilton. She's from the From the Bunker podcast. Patreon.com/FromTheBunker. She's also on the Stephanie Miller Show. StephanieMiller.com. In case you don't know already. Duh. And David Ferguson, we call him T-Rex. His music project is Astral Summer. AstralSummer.bandcamp.com. All right, good day to both of you goth ninjas. It's going to be one of those shows. We have lots to cover today with the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Another slow news day here as we dive in to our Thursday show. I want to say here right at the top, I want to talk about how exactly we're going to be covering this. And those of you who follow me on Twitter have already read me ranting about what I'm about to say. And what I don't want to do here, mainly because, you know what, there are a couple of reasons. One, I don't want to spread misinformation. Two, this show has a long tail to it. So we're recording this in the middle of the afternoon on Thursday. Some of you aren't hearing the show until Saturday, Sunday, Monday, etc. So us like breathlessly jumping on and going, oh my God, I just saw on Twitter there was a bombing in this town and then there are dead Ukrainians and the Russians are seizing coming. I don't want to do that. As I said, it's partly because there's so much misinformation all over social media right now. I don't want to fall into that trap of breathlessly covering breaking news events on the ground, specifics about, you know, bombings, military engagements, or anything that's not like 100% confirmed by more than one mainstream news source. I refuse to just do the doomcast thing with this. Because there's just so much crap out there. And here's a great example as to how doing that sort of thing can seriously backfire. I mean, we're just generally speaking lay people in all of this. I mean, obviously we talk about politics for a living, but at the same time, we're not on the ground in Ukraine. We're not seasoned foreign correspondents for news outlets and so on. One of the best.
Just speak for yourself, bitch. Sorry.
One of the
pipe up there.
One of the best in the business is Richard Engel from NBC News, and this morning he inadvertently tweeted unsubstantiated news and had to retract it. And he's one of the best, as I said, one of the best foreign correspondents in the business. If it can happen to him, it can happen to anyone. So. Fucking be careful. This is one of the first things I woke up to this morning. Turned on Twitter and went and looked and saw Richard Engel tweeting, advisor to Ukrainian Interior Ministry says Russian forces entered Chernobyl and that fighting there destroyed a nuclear waste storage facility. And then my first reaction was, holy shit, what is going on? And then he tweeted a follow-up tweet connected to that one, sort of as that reply, and went like, whoops, sorry, it's not destroyed. And that was after everyone had been retweeting it. You know, it's been obviously discussed elsewhere on other shows.
Tom Hartman was talking about it this morning.
Yeah, exactly. And it turned out to be not true. And as soon as I tweeted like the cautionary tale on Twitter, as soon as I quote tweeted that, he had already deleted it. So thank God he at least did that. But it was already too late. Having been on social media.
Isn't Chernobyl completely deserted?
Yeah, well, there is a staff.
That's kind
there.
Of like a weird, like the, there's like a village and it's completely empty. So like, way to go, Russia. That's a hell of a military objective.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there
but
are.
You grabbed the site that's so radioactive that nobody on Earth will live there.
Yeah, there is a Ukrainian staff that is guarding that facility. So there are
like
people
six guys
there.
With a stapler.
Yeah, well, no, it's bigger than that. There's, you know, obviously there's guards, there's staff. They have to keep an eye on this massive ground zero of that Chernobyl meltdown. They have to keep an eye on it,
yeah,
making
obviously,
sure.
But yeah, still, yeah. That's some prime real estate, Mr. Putin. Congrats on that.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's an interesting point.
Donald Trump's going to open a golf course there.
Yeah, if Russia wants to seize Chernobyl, which they already have, Russia has seized Chernobyl. If they want to keep it, it's all theirs. They should have been the ones cleaning it up in the first place anyway. But needless to say, the broader point here is to please, my God, be aware of rumors and disinformation on social media. Triple check everything before you retweet it. Again, retweeting blurts by randos is only going to inflame this crisis, and we don't want to inflame this crisis anymore.
This is part of the huge problem of how our fucking media is driven by this kind of like knee-jerk attention span, like microblogging. Mm-hmm. Like Twitter is made to disinform.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it really like there's no real consequential subject that you can cover in 200 characters. It just, it's where nuance goes to die and misinformation goes to breed and infest and proliferate.
And there are quite a few trolls out there right now. Bots, trolls, obviously we've seen the usual suspects with random name followed by a series of numbers. And the MO with those people is to hide, reply, block. You know that process. They appear in your comments and your replies underneath one of your tweets. Hide, reply, block. If it's on Facebook, delete the goddamn comment. I mean, you can smell these things like a fart in the car. Yeah, exactly.
I just did, and I know the person.
Yeah.
But I just did.
Right. It's so crucial that we not end up in this cycle of disinformation and repeating it and, you know, all kinds of disaster tweeting going on. And I know there's, we all mean well, right? We all, our intentions are good because we want to inform the people who follow us and we think we're spreading news and so on and making sure that everyone
speak for yourself.
Yeah.
Go on.
Well, I'm not speaking for myself.
My intentions aren't good. I'm here to burn shit down. Am I on the wrong show?
Well, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about some people who, you know, they feel like when they retweet some bit of information that they're standing in solidarity with Ukraine or whatever the motivation actually is. The point is, though, that we have news reporters on the ground, and that's not to say that they're going to be accurate anyway. The key here is to wait until the news is actually funneled through the process of journalism, not just some screech on Twitter. We don't want to amplify
gatekeeper?
That.
Yeah. What? So we can get it from the MSM? Like,
what's wrong with you today?
I'm feeling particularly contrary. I'm just going to be a stick in the bicycle spokes of the show today. Okay. That's just my plan.
So
I do want to say something about disinformation, though, and misinformation.
Uh-huh.
One of the things that I think history will remember this moment that's kind of gotten lost in the wash of the back and forth is the amazingly intricate dance of intelligence leaking that the Biden administration did ahead of this invasion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, this is some ninja shit. Like, because they got out ahead of it and were like, oh, yeah, you know, Putin's going to invade on, you know, this day at this time. And Putin's like, what? You're being ridiculous. And meanwhile, the satellite imagery shows troop movements, you know. And it's like, I've got to say, like, this is like ninja statecraft.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
To be able, and I know Putin is insane to figure out who is leaking from his inside circle because somebody's leaking the plans ahead of time.
Yeah.
You know, they were like, you know, Russia's going to do a false flag. And Russia was like, you know, hiding the flag behind their back. Like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah,
you're
being
ridiculous. Yeah. You always assume the worst about us, you know. And it's like, I'm hurt. I'm hurt and offended. Yeah, that's their whole thing.
Yeah.
So I've been impressed. Like, you know, it's nice to have professionals mm-hmm. at the helm in a time of crisis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. In fact, Joe Biden might as well just say, all your base are belong to us. I mean, that's how he should telegraph these things to Vladimir Putin, because he's one step ahead of whatever Putin's doing. And Putin's like, Biden! Jesus.
Damn you, Biden!
But going back to what you were just saying, David, this is exactly why it matters that we have sane, competent leadership in Washington. I mean, I tweeted her late last night. I said, you know, Joe Biden may not make your socks go up and down every day. He may not blow your skirt up every day. But you know what? I'm relieved that he and his team are running things right now and not that fucking slobbering clown and his Klansmen. You know what I mean? I can't even imagine where we would be right now if Donald Trump and all of his minion were, controlling things in Washington right now. It'd be a fucking nightmare.
Shit show. It would be a total shit show. Congress would be feverishly trying to enact economic actions and sanctions, and he would be just like,
well, he didn't enforce the sanctions before. Why would he even try to do new ones now?
Exactly.
Remember?
Right. Yep.
He never enforced sanctions before. That's why they didn't work. They weren't fucking enforced, that fucking piece of shit motherfucker. And people are dying right now, motherfucking piece of shit. I'm sorry.
Dude, Jody's already war podcasting now. She's just
I'm mad. I'm
fly.
Fucking mad.
Full Arlie Ermy.
Yeah. I'm kind of impressed that you showed up with a full camouflage face paint today. That's a new look on you.
It looks good though. You know, it's a, you know, I used to wear an army hat as a kid, so it's working.
I'm a
fine.
Little scared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I want
to like cut my throat when I go to light a cigarette, you know?
Yeah, God. Well, you know, I want to talk about Trump here in a little bit. We'll come back to that because, you know, I've got a whole section here on my list about the Quislings, the Fox News people, the, you know, Trump and Mar-a-Lago. Supporting Vladimir Putin in all of this. We've got a couple of audio clips, one from Tucker Carlson, another one from Steve Bannon and Eric Prince, that are just mind-numbingly awful. So we'll talk about that here.
You didn't
in just
get
a second.
The one where he's talking to Laura Ingraham and he gets totally confused about who the bad guys are and amphibious
now,
assault.
I don't have a clip of Trump because I always get complaints whenever I play his voice on the show. So what happened was is Donald Trump was being interviewed by Laura Ingraham, and Laura Ingraham said something about an amphibious assault engaged by Russia against Ukraine. And then Trump was like, what are you saying, Laura? You shouldn't say that because he's American. And he's thinking that Laura was talking about America.
The Biden administration shouldn't be pushing us out through the great Laura Ingraham. It should be a secret, right?
Yeah. Well, he was right. He was thinking that Laura Ingraham was revealing troop movements by the United States, as if America was engaged in an amphibious assault on Russian troops in Ukraine, which is just madness. And that's not what she was saying. But Trump, obviously, very confused. Brainworms that were transmitted somehow, maybe in Helsinki, to Vladimir Putin, because now Vladimir Putin's got the brainworms too, clearly. So, you know, going back to what we were saying about serious people in serious times, I think too many of us tend to vote based on these superficial kind of silly season manufactured stories on social media and cable news. And we need to look at this crisis and reset how we prioritize leadership traits, especially the posts that really matter, president, Congress, so on. We need to prioritize competence, reason, sanity, stability, prudence, and we need to vote accordingly. We need to be voting for leadership, political leadership, based on these character traits, on the ability to be able to handle a situation like we're in right now and not derp us into World War III. And there are a lot of people talking about trying to make a parallel between now and, like 1939 and Poland and so on, and the Nazi blitzkrieg and appeasement in World War II. And I do want to caution anyone who is, you know, kind of knee-jerking into, oh, God, we're on the doorstep of World War III. Things have changed significantly since the 1930s, since World War II ended, especially. We're in a different world where now economics plays such a greater role in international relations than it ever used to because of things like free trade. We live in a different world that, you know, allows for negotiations to occur on an economic level, retaliation to occur on an economic level. Mm-hmm. Sanctions have a greater role in containment than they did 90 years ago or whatever it was. You know, so we need to be extra cautious about super. Once again, you know, I was talking about this when it came to
the old school war is stupid and old fashioned.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the war now is fought on the internet. It's fought economically. It's, you know, I mean, we've kind of figured out, and I think Russia is about to find out what the United States found out in mm-hmm. Iraq and Afghanistan, that yeah. occupations are expensive and mushrooming, telescoping tasks that get way longer and way more complicated when nobody in the population wants you there.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry, but I cut you off, Bob.
That's all right. Well, I was saying, too, that there was this idea that we're going to compare Donald Trump to Adolf Hitler. And my concern with that was that that'll get everyone looking for very specific things that Adolf Hitler represented. And that's going to blind us to the reality of what Donald Trump is actually doing. Because if we try to superimpose all the Hitler things on Donald Trump, we're going to be looking for Hitler and we're going to miss the Trump shit because there are unique Trump things that he does that are despotic and awful, but may not have that specific Adolf Hitler patina. So what I'm saying now,
what do you
is,
feel though about people who are calling the Russia situation though, like, you know, calling us Neville Chamberlain and Putin Hitler?
Yeah, right. Well, that's true. But the thing is, if we start to superimpose World War II onto what's happening now, we may miss the nuance of what Vladimir Putin is really up to. Because he's not motivated by the same things necessarily as Adolf Hitler. He's not motivated by the same things as Imperial Japan. So I think we're making a mistake insofar as we're drawing this comparison and extrapolating it into World War III. It's causing a lot of unnecessary panic. There are things to be panicked about when it comes to Russia and Ukraine and what's going on in Eastern Europe right now. But jumping all the way to World War III is, right, you know, 10,000 steps down the road. And there are many avenues in which we could avoid entirely the notion of World War III. So keep your eyes open, but at the same time, don't feel like it's the end of the world and there are going to be mushroom clouds around every corner. We're not there
yet.
There's
a whole set of circumstances with regards to an attack on U.S. soil, which happened at Pearl Harbor. That is, mm-hmm. I mean, we didn't get into World War II until we had skin in the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just – there's no strategic advantage for the United States to start pouring forces into a land war in Asia.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
But I do feel like Trump, I mean, not Trump, Putin is kind of, I mean, coming unglued.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's what you were saying, you know, Trump infected him with the brain worms in Helsinki. Mm-hmm. And I do want to explore that and see what you guys have heard just from different people about, because, I mean, his speech the other night was like, it went on for hours and it was like a Trump rally speech.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was saying yesterday, like, yeah.
If you have a righteous cause, you don't need more than 10 minutes to state your case.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly.
I mean, you really don't have to talk for more than, you know, 30 minutes tops to make your case because you have a righteous cause. For instance, the president of Ukraine. Hey, guys, pick up arms. We're fighting these guys. End of statement.
Right.
Well, it's like exercise. After the first 40 minutes, you start depleting yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, like you quit adding and you start subtracting. After you talk for more than an hour, you start undermining yourself just by being up there with your mouth still going.
Yeah.
And you're repetitive and all of that. And you're repetitive and all of that. And you're repetitive and all of that. Wait.
Well, what are the people there? And there are several Russia experts that you want to watch closely and pay attention to what they're saying. Michael McFaul is one of them.
Yeah.
He's former Russian ambassador to the United States under Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. He is one of the best Russia experts, and his point of view is invaluable in all of this. So last night on MSNBC, after the invasion began in earnest from the north, McFaul said this was an overreach by Putin, and it could mean the end of his regime measured out in years. And that's me paraphrasing what he was saying, but this is generally what he said. And he posted a follow-up tweet this morning that said, "On this sad day, the only good news is that this invasion is the beginning of the end for Putin and Putinism. He will never subjugate Ukrainians, Never. They will resist by force or other more passive means forever. Yep. And so that's something I think we can use and we can rely on to be pretty accurate as far as
and
an
McFaul
assessment
has
overall.
Personally been like toe-to-toe with Putin. I mean, he was like, you know, on Putin's 10 most wanted list and had to like leave Russia under secrecy.
Yeah.
Right. Because Putin was like desperate to kill him because he kept calling Putin's bluffs and calling him out.
Well, unlike the previous guy who this fucking madman for 4 years in Washington, destabilizing Western alliances, undermining NATO, empowering Vladimir Putin at every turn. And now we're seeing the consequences of all of that. A weakened United States, a divided United States, a weakened NATO, with the possibility that if Donald Trump or one of his copycats gets elected again, that process could continue once again. That could be resurrected by whoever. So no wonder Putin engaged in a major cyber attack to help Trump win back in 2016. 74 million Americans, by the way, dumb enough to buy into it all. It was like, okay, we're fished in by this obvious disinformation campaign engaged by Russia against the United States to elect Donald Trump. And by the way, before you say that that's all a myth, this has all been confirmed by multiple reports issued by the then Republican-controlled Senate Intelligence Committee. So if you think the whole Trump-Russia thing is a giant hoax and a conspiracy theory, go fuck yourself, because this has been 100% confirmed. Now, whether there was collusion, we also know there was collusion. Talk to Paul Manafort about his level of collusion with Konstantin Kalimnik. And,
Paul Manafort came straight from Ukraine to sit in the pilot chair of the Trump campaign for free.
You're seeing a lot of people on Fox News saying, oh, you know, this would never have happened if Donald Trump had been president. What do you think Donald Trump would do differently than what we're doing right now? Are you suggesting that if
he
Donald
would allow
Trump... he would allow it. Or what would he do that would be more tougher on Vladimir Putin? Would he use nukes? Would he do something that phenomenally dumb and self-destructive? Maybe. I mean, we don't know. That's why it's so important to prioritize stable personalities.
I can tell you what Trump would be
leadership.
Doing. Yeah. And the situation is whatever Vlad sends him on the, you know, his to-do list.
Really...
He had his hand so far up Trump's ass that, I mean, really, you could see his fingers when Trump would talk.
Yeah.
Trump was going to remove the United States from NATO.
Right.
And he was going to abandon our alliance with South Korea in his second term. This is something that he promised to do. This was something that was really going to happen. And because he was denied a second term, there's no one there to help out Vladimir Putin from Washington, except for maybe Fox News Channel and some fringe Republicans. I mean, it's kind of amazing where you're seeing Ted Cruz and the Senate Republicans saying, we stand with Ukraine, even though Fox News Channel is doing everything they can to empower Vladimir Putin, to praise Vladimir Putin. And as I said, we've got some clips along those lines coming up.
Not just Fox News. I got to tell you, yesterday I was trying to take a nap between jobs. And Ben had Meet the Press on, which is always a recipe for apoplexy.
Yeah.
But Chuck Todd actually said, this kind of makes you miss the coalition that we had with Iraq.
What?
And I actually – he was like – he doesn't feel like the rest of the world is with us right now with the Biden administration.
Are you kidding?
Right? I mean, there are so many things wrong with that statement, let alone the fact that Iraq was a giant PR scheme that was a total lie and a massive humanitarian failure. And I really wanted someone to, you know, yank Chuck Todd up by his struggle bangs and say, what about the refugee crisis, homie? What about Syria? What about – I really miss when all our friends do this really stupid fucking thing with us.
Yeah, and we wonder why people end up supporting stupid shit. Because people like Chuck Todd legitimize it. It's not like he's sitting in primetime on Fox News Channel and people take him with a grain of salt. He's on a legitimate news program called Meet the Press that has a 50, 60-year history. here's that story I tracked down. This is a story from the Washington Post, goes back to July of last year, talking about Esper, the Secretary of Defense, or the acting Secretary of Defense. Esper was a lifelong Republican and had worked at the Conservative Heritage Foundation, as well as for Republican Senators Bill Frist and Chuck Hagel. But he told his closest colleagues that as he watched TV news anchors cover the election results, he found himself rooting for the Democrat. Esper had worked with Biden and his Secretary of State in waiting, Anthony Blinken, when he was a senior staffer on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He had confidence that they were serious, stable people who care deeply about shoring up national security. See, that's why, that's how we need to vote. We need to vote based on that. That you may not agree with everything they say politically, but they're serious, stable people who care deeply about shoring up national security. That's crucial, especially in times like this. So Esper couldn't say the same about Donald Trump. In fact, Trump had privately indicated that he would seek to withdraw from NATO and to blow up the U.S. alliance with South Korea should he win re-election. When those alliances had come up in meetings with Esper and other top aides, some advisors warned Trump that shredding them before the election would be politically dangerous. Quote, yeah, the second term, Trump had said. Quote, we'll do it in the second term. So this is where we would be right now with this Putin invasion. But because he's stripped of Donald Trump as an ally in Washington, doesn't mean he's changing his plans. These plans have been in place for a while now. Vladimir Putin knew exactly when he was going to go in. Why it always happens after the Winter Olympics is beyond me. But that's completely separate. 2014, right after the Winter Olympics. And I don't know if Georgia in 2008 was after an Olympics, but I know this one was after an Olympics.
It was, no, because the Olympics were, because that was in the summer, I seem to recall, because it was right before the election.
Okay, gotcha. Well,
might have been after the Summer Olympics, then. Was it the Summer Olympics in 2008?
I don't know, but I don't think there's any real correlation between those things. It's just a weird coincidence. Weird. Yeah. So there's that. Donald Trump was going to pull out of NATO. And where would that have put us? What if Vladimir Putin entered Poland, for example, instead of Ukraine, or in addition to Ukraine?
Right.
What then? The United States no longer.
That's a NATO,
NATO
thing then.
Yeah.
That's NATO.
Absolutely.
That's World War III.
Yeah, that triggers. Well, it's not World War III, but it certainly triggers Article 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if we're in a World War III scenario.
Tom Hartman was stating today that Finland and Sweden are willing to, even though they're not members of NATO.
Yeah.
And Finland does border Russia. They're willing to kind of like support whatever NATO does.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, you know what? Speaking of Poland, President Duda.
Look out.
Oh, there we go.
Camp Town racers sing this song. Duda, Duda. Camp Town racetrack 5 miles long. Oh, Duda day.
Hey, win in Eastern Europe. We got to wheel that one out. President Duda has said that he assured his Ukrainian counterpart, Volodymyr Zelensky, of Poland's full support for Ukraine in the face of Russian aggression. Duda.
Look out. Camp Town racers sing this song. Duda, Duda. Camp Town racetrack 5 miles long. Oh, Duda day.
Duda and Zelensky talked on Monday night after Putin, the Russian president. Stop calling him the Russian president, by the way. He's a fucking strong man who seized that office for life. Yes, he's a tyrant. Signed a decree recognizing the self-declared Donetsk and Luhansk People's Republics in eastern Ukraine, which have been at war with Kyiv since 2014 as self-styled independent states. Anyway, so, yeah, be careful about doom-scrolling and doom-tweeting World War III things. Meantime, pro-Ukraine protests have been reported in St. Petersburg. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to get into some of the fuckery that's happening on Fox News Channel and some of the fuckery that's coming out of Donald Trump's yapper here in just 1 second. But before we do, let's talk about the after party. Every Friday, Kimberly Johnson and I record a fourth Bob Sessa Show podcast. But this one is different from the usual Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday shows because the Friday after party is loaded with all the politics you want while also including uncensored, completely obscene conversations about sex, drugs, movies, television, our personal lives, all the stuff we can't get away with on the free show. Like talking about on last week's show, which one of us farted in front of the other first? These are the hard-hitting topics we cover in the after
party. Ooh, I haven't listened to this show, but I have a bet.
Okay. Well, what is your guess, David? What do you think?
Oh, I think it was you.
We're not going to say. We're not going to spoil it. You have to listen to the After Party to know for sure. So please help support this podcast by subscribing to our Friday After Party for just $10 per month. And bonus, you're also going to get two Shadow Docket shows every week included in that level of support. That's BobSeskaShow.com, or just click the all caps Patreon link beneath the logo at BobSeska.com. And we thank you.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Bob Seska!
All-time favorites all day long.
The heaviest summer rain is washing the night away. Wrap up your guitar and remove the ground from the streams.
This is the great Pasha Black and a song called Rainy Night from the Lookalike Stream. Those of you who've been with the show for a while know that Pasha Black is from Kyiv, Ukraine. So we're showing our solidarity here musically with one of our friends from Ukraine. Link in the description to support Pasha Black. In fact, you know what? We're playing another Pasha Black song a little later in the show. And I think this sort of shit is important. I mean, one of the first things I thought about when it was announced last night that the bombings had begun is that, you know, I wonder what's going on with Pasha Black. I wonder what's going on with Malcolm Nance. Malcolm Nance is there right now. In fact, we talked to him last week live from Kyiv.
Are shells already falling on Kyiv, or are they mainly concentrating on border cities right now?
The suburbs of Kyiv, I believe, were getting hit earlier today, but I don't
know. Yeah, we don't know for sure. I think last night there were reports of them hitting military installations.
Yeah, and airports and things like that, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if they bombed like the actual airport facility as much as they bombed the runways to make it impossible to use the runways. Right. I don't know which of them. Yeah.
Is Biden finished talking by now?
Yeah, yeah. By the time you've heard this show, Joe Biden will have already spoken about this. He delivered some remarks last night, and I think these
more sanctions going, that they're going to be harder.
Oh yeah, yeah. And that's that's why I'm dying to hear what he's saying as we record this show. So those of you in the future, you've got that information, and we don't necessarily have that information. But here's Joe Biden's statement from last night. He said, "The prayers of the world are with the people of Ukraine tonight as they suffer an unprovoked and unjustified attack by Russian military forces. President Putin has chosen a premeditated war that will bring catastrophic loss of life and human suffering. Russia alone is responsible for the death and destruction this attack will bring, and the United States and its allies and partners will respond in a united and decisive way. The world will hold Russia accountable. I will be monitoring the situation from the White House this evening and will continue to get regular updates from my national security team. Tomorrow, I will meet with my G7 counterparts in the morning and then speak to the American people to announce the further consequences the United States and our allies and partners will impose on Russia for this needless act of aggression against Ukraine and global peace and security. We will also coordinate with our NATO allies to ensure a strong, united response that deters any aggression against the alliance. Tonight, Jill and I are praying for the brave and proud people of Ukraine, and thank God this guy is in the White House right now. Thank fucking God that it's Joe Biden. Thank God that 82 million Americans last year, or in 2020, voted for Joe Biden and voted to oust that cackling buffoon. Contrast that with what Donald Trump is saying right now. The other day, I think it was Tuesday night, this is what he said. I went in yesterday and there was a television screen. And I said, this is
person, man, woman, TV camera.
Yeah, exactly. I went in yesterday and there was a television screen and I said, this is genius, Trump recalled. Putin declares a big portion of the Ukraine, he says, you know, because he's a national security genius. He's still saying the Ukraine.
Uh-huh, yeah. He also calls it Kyiv, doesn't he?
Yeah, probably. And then he corrected himself and said, of Ukraine. Putin declares it as independent. Oh, that's wonderful, he said. I said, how smart is that? And he's going to go in and be a peacekeeper. That's the strongest peace force. We could use that on our southern border. That's the strongest peace force I've ever seen. There were more army tanks than I've ever seen. They're going to keep peace, all right. No, but think of it. Here's a guy who's very savvy.
Fuck you!
Yeah.
This is the man who tried to buy Greenland, okay, folks?
Let's yeah, remember?
Yeah.
Greenland is a strategic place up there, and they got a lot of valuable minerals. I don't want to predict an outcome. I'm just saying the president, who knows a thing or two about buying real estate, wants to take a look at low interest rates, no inflation, virtually no inflation, Chuck Todd. So I actually think it's a pretty good story. And again, let me echo my theme. Let's not be afraid of some optimism.
Let me echo my theme because I see there's two of you right now.
Chuck Todd. He was talking to
someone. I can't say definitively because I can't pronounce definitively.
Where was he? He was on CNN or something. I forget who was interviewing him. But it certainly wasn't Chuck Todd. But whoever it was, he referred to him
Jake
as Chuck
Tapper
Todd.
Or somebody.
Oh, Jake Tapper, yeah. He's calling him Chuck Todd. Oh, my God. Why don't we have those guys back in control? Man, this would be completely different, is what they're saying, if Donald Trump and Larry Kudlow were back in the White House.
Greenland is a strategic place.
Jesus God.
Because it's just all real estate, you know? It's just... the best idea we ever had. Make a real estate developer the president. Because the whole world is just real estate. You got any more coke?
So Vladimir Putin's very savvy, according to Donald Trump. I guess people with brain worms can recognize it in other people. And they think it's all normal because they're seeing the world in the same twisted way.
He thinks anyone who can just kill their enemies is quote unquote savvy. That's like his definition of street smart.
Yeah, it's very strong. Everything is about being strong. Charlie Kirk was saying the exact same thing. Donald Trump and moron Charlie Kirk are on the same fucking page. Charlie Kirk said it's
so we're going to invade and occupy Mexico. That's a good plan.
Yes, absolutely. This is where
brilliant
we would be.
Plan.
Yeah, if the election had gone the other way. The Charlie Kirk foreign policy would be implemented. He said, Charlie Kirk said at CPAC today, the southern border is a lot more important than the Ukraine border. A dispute 5,000 miles away in cities we can't pronounce. Well, you can't pronounce Kyiv, but the rest of us can.
This is the don't go to college guy, right?
Yeah, and places we can't find on a map. Well, that says more about you morons than it does about anyone
Seriously,
else.
Dude,
if you can't find
your fucking ass with a map and a flashlight, shithead. Like, I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, oh, God. Now we're going to hear about we get some ponderous thoughts on Eastern Europe from Sebastian Gorka.
Why can we not have Donald Trump in charge again? So here Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson, who is Donald Trump's best buddy. In fact, this clip I'm about to play is being rebroadcast on Russian state television with Russian subtitles. That's how much Vladimir Putin loves
Russia.
Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson goes on and Vladimir Putin starts doing this. Fun. Oh, look, it's Tucker.
Fun!
Here's Tucker Carlson. I think this was, Tuesday night or Wednesday night?
Since the day that Donald Trump became president, Democrats in Washington have told you you have a patriotic duty to hate Vladimir Putin. It's not a suggestion, it's a mandate. Anything less than hatred for Putin is treason.
Okay.
Every time I hear him, he's like the nightmare customer when you're trying to wait tables. You know, this is the voice of the American right.
I'm just asking questions.
Yeah, well, that's just it. What he does is he implants questions that, are in the form of confirmation bias. It's like, here are the questions you ought to be asking. And you're probably already asking these questions. Like, why should we care about Vladimir Putin? Like we've talked about before, Tucker Carlson on his show saying, what is racism anyway? What does it even mean? You know, it's like, it's the worst kind of pandering because you know his Fox News audience gobbles it up with a spoon. They're like, yeah, what is racism anyway? I don't understand it. Or they listen to Charlie Kirk. I don't know how to pronounce these names of cities in Ukraine. I don't even know where Ukraine is. I need Tucker Carlson to get on a show tonight and say, do any of you really even know where Ukraine is on a map? And why should you know? He's encouraging them to be deliberately ignorant about this shit. Let's continue.
Many Americans have obeyed this directive. They now dutifully hate Vladimir Putin. Maybe you're one of them. Hating Putin has become the central purpose of America's foreign policy. It's the main thing that we talk about. Entire cable channels are now devoted to it. Very soon, that hatred of Vladimir Putin could bring the United States into a conflict in Eastern Europe.
Okay, here's where the questions begin.
Before that happens, it might be worth asking yourself, since it is getting pretty serious, what is this really about? Why do I hate Putin so much? Mm-hmm. Has Putin ever called me a racist? Has he threatened to get me fired for disagreeing with him?
Oh,
has he shipped every middle-class job in my town to Russia? Did he manufacture a worldwide pandemic that wrecked my business and kept me indoors for 2 years? Is he teaching my children to embrace racial discrimination? Is he making fentanyl? Is he trying to snuff out Christianity? Does he eat dogs?
Bob, stop.
These are fair questions.
And the answer, these are fair questions, guys. They're fair questions.
I'm going to pop a blood vessel.
My favorite is, has he tried to cancel me for disagreeing with him? Is he talking about Vladimir Putin?
Who kills journalists?
What the fuck?
Yep. So this is just...
If there's any justice in the universe at all, Tucker Carlson will spend his eternity in hell while demons shit boiling tar into his mouth.
Well, this is... This is exactly the kind of dangerous shit that we talk about all the time. This is basically saying, here are the things that are important to you. These are your priorities. Making sure that you don't have to share a bathroom with a trans person. Making sure that you don't have to be called racist when you're shopping at Walmart. You know, this is the kind of shit. These are the
He was like, did Vladimir Putin call me a racist? I was like, no, Tucker, that's the fucking rest of the known world.
Yeah, these are the important things that matter in your life. And because Vladimir Putin doesn't fit within this narrow set of talking points, then it doesn't matter what Vladimir Putin does. It doesn't matter. Is Vladimir Putin disrupting the southern border and carrying fentanyl across the, you know, because he's not, therefore he doesn't matter. Right. These are the only things that matter to you, Americans. Oh, citizens.
Boiling tar into his mouth.
Yeah. God damn it. So Steve Bannon and Eric Prince were on their show praising Putin for the exact same reasons. It's like, it's almost as if they were organized. Here's Steve Bannon yesterday.
Putin ain't woke. He is anti-woke.
The Russians, people still know which bathroom to use.
They know how many genders are there in Russia?
Two.
Okay. That's all of a sudden. That's not. They don't have the flags. They don't have the pride flags outside on their.
They don't have boys swimming in girls' college swim meets.
How backward.
It's how embarrassing.
How savage. How medieval. How medieval. This is why this whole thing's a scam. It's a total and complete scam.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. These men are cunts. Okay. Yeah. I'm just going to come right out.
Right.
I want a pair of brass knuckles and an appointment with their teeth. Just like, I mean, let's hear you talk about bathrooms now, Mike Flynn, when you're spitting fragments of tooth into the sideboards. Just...
God. Yeah. Once again, if it doesn't fall into these narrow slots of things you care about, then it's fine. What, Vladimir Putin invading a sovereign democracy? Fine. Seizing Chernobyl? Fine. Bombing civilian areas? No problem, because it's not here. It's in places I can't pronounce. The Republican Party is an empty suit. The Republican Party is 1,000% soulless. Tucker Carlson and Steve Bannon are engaged in what can only be defined as the quintessential cynical cash grab. This is all about confirmation bias for ratings and cash. Tucker Carlson doesn't believe the shit that he's talking about, and I guarantee Steve Bannon doesn't either. They are empty suits. They are
Mike Flynn, though. I think that little shit is really genuinely this fucked up. I think his brain is just like fried. Yeah. All the fuses are like switched to on, and the needles are in the red, and he's just like, transgenders, I hate them. You know, like, just give me my gun. I can't sleep.
Yeah, that may very well be. That may very well be the case, that they're just bananas. But at the same time,
Flynn is the only one I'm thinking that. I mean, you know, Steve Bannon just wants to shit in a gold toilet and drink 200-year-old wine.
Yeah. Well, they understand where their bread is buttered. They understand where the money is. They understand that there is cash and then they're morons. You know what I mean? There's an entire there's an entire demographic saying, "Here, take my money." They're giving it to Save America PAC. They're giving it to Make America Great Again PAC. What did we see the other day? Donald Trump spent $370,000 on himself from donor money to the Make America Great Again PAC. He took Make America Great Again PAC money and used it for a headquarters in Trump Tower for rent specifically in those headquarters. And they, you know, the headquarters sits empty, not being used. You know why? You know what happened there? Donald Trump said, okay, I'm going to take this money and I'm going to use this money for myself. Just like Trump Foundation, I'm going to take people's money that they donated to me for a cause, and instead of giving it to that cause, I'm going to give it to me. That's what Donald Trump does. That's what Steve Bannon does. That's what Tucker Carlson does every fucking night. He's selling confirmation bias to enrich himself, and he believes none of it. Tucker Carlson, Steve Bannon, they may have some form of conservative values, but I think whatever, you know, you look in the tank, I think it's on fumes. Whatever values are there, barely there.
They just want more money and not to pay taxes.
Exactly. And
they gin up these social issues because it gets the red hats a fuming, mobilizes them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, in the meantime, Ronnie Jackson said, the time has come for sanctions on senior officials in the Canadian government.
What?
If they have anything in American banks, it needs to be frozen. So Ronnie Jackson deeply concerned.
Is that Dr. Provigil?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, Mr. Like, you know, healthiest president ever with a svelte Coca-Cola bottle-shaped body that just makes this old doctor sweat like a schoolgirl. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's Ronnie Jackson. The real threat is Justin Trudeau and Canada. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Blame Canada. It's South Park all over again.
Yeah. I mean, I know the people who need to hear this aren't listening to the show, but Jesus God, stop voting for morons who have no sense of history, no sense of priority, no sense of what matters in political leadership. All they have is this, you know, as I keep saying, this confirmation bias that they're selling to rubes. And the rubes are buying it like fucking Coca-Cola. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing thing to watch. And by amazing, I mean terrible and horrible and damaging. I don't know how much it's resonating because I think there's going to be a little bit of confusion arising from the fact that Fox News is saying one thing, defending Vladimir Putin. And then people like Ted Cruz and the Senate Republicans and so on come out and say, yes, we're condemning Vladimir Putin. And then the steam starts shooting out of the ears of all the red hats, moistening their baseball caps, and they don't know what to do. So consequently, it's just, you know, they continue to screech and freak out and act out in public. But, you know, more caravans, which
attack
are now
flight attendants.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, I want to talk about, I want to take a minute to talk about the New York DA thing that came down before all this happened. We're going to take a short break and come back, and we're going to hit this topic. I didn't want to spend the whole time talking about Russia and Ukraine, but this is pretty important, too. Back with more show right after these words.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one?
In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Bob Seska plays more music.
Is broken, and she tries to be cool, staying alive. My September style is ending up, and I think
yeah, standing in solidarity with Ukraine's Pasha Black. This is a remastered version of September's Tale, which I believe originally appeared on the Lookalike stream. But now it's a standalone single everywhere you get your digital music. Link in the description to support Pasha Black. It's going to take you over to the Apple Music area to purchase music from Pasha Black. But, of course, all you got to do is go to Google, search for Pasha Black Music, and you'll have some other options. I think there's a Reverb Nation page and so on. So please go and support Pasha Black, especially now straight out of Kyiv, Ukraine. Okay, so, God, where were we? I'm scrolling through my list. We covered a lot of territory.
New York DA.
Yeah, New York DA. Okay, so Alvin Bragg is the new New York DA, the Manhattan DA. And he inherited this investigation and grand jury from Cy Vance, the previous district attorney. And, of course, what the grand jury is doing is it's in the process of investigating Donald Trump personally for this process of inflating and deflating assets based on what Donald Trump needs, whether it's insurance applications, loan applications, tax returns, and so on. And so since last fall, this grand jury has been impaneled. They've been, you know, introducing evidence, having witnesses interviewed in front of the grand jury and so on for depositions. And then yesterday, we got word that two of the prosecutors, Dunn and Pomerantz, I think Pomerantz is the last name of the other guy. Yeah, they decided to step away. They decided to resign their posts at the district attorney's office. And then subsequently, of course, the criminal investigation into Donald Trump's shady business practices. So the report about this, well, that's a good question. The report didn't say exactly why Bragg appears to be backing down from the prosecution, but that's why they stepped down. Because Alvin Bragg, who replaced Cy Vance, reportedly has, quote, doubts about moving forward with the case against Trump. Now, bear in mind here, this was a source of a lot of angst yesterday on social media. Yeah. A lot of people freaking out. And, you know, initially I was like, what the fuck is this? But at the same time, bear in mind that the New York District Attorney has already, and this is Cy Vance last year, has already filed criminal charges against the Trump Organization and, for that matter, Alan Weisselberg. Mm-hmm. So there is that proceeding. Now, this extra thing with the grand jury is specifically about Donald Trump and, I believe, his kids. And I don't know. I don't know why. But there has been a stall in, I think, for the last month or so in introducing new evidence and interviewing new witnesses from the grand jury. There hasn't been anything happening in this past month.
Shouldn't the Mazars revelation speed things back up, because then they can interview all these accountants?
All in plain sight.
I mean, well, I think that will also apply to Letitia James and investigation.
Her investigation can turn over stuff for criminal indictment. And Mazars, I mean, if I were Biggs, the DA in New York, I'd be like, hi, Mazars, can I have a chat with you?
Well, right now, because the Trump Organization has already been charged for, I believe it was, this whole scam where they were reimbursing employees using gifts in order to circumvent the tax law. And so that's why the Trump Organization has been criminally charged. Alan Weisselberg has been charged, and that's Trump's CFO, the Trump Organization. He's been charged with tax fraud. So those two things are still on the table. It's not like Donald Trump and the Trump Organization are getting away with everything. But that was the reaction, right? Oh, God, we're never going to get Donald Trump. He's never going to get charged with anything. And that's not the case because the Trump Organization has already been charged. Alan Weisselberg already been charged. Plus, on top of everything else, there are 18 other cases pending against Trump. Buzz and I talked about, well, at the time there were 19. And this one still hasn't gone away, by the way.
Right.
Just because these two prosecutors resign and Bragg seems a little iffy on this whole thing, having doubts, allegedly, according to New York Times, that doesn't mean it's dissolved yet. I mean, it may dissolve tomorrow. Who knows? They may just drop it. And the grand jury, I think, expires at the end of March.
I can also see being a prosecutor in a department with limited resources.
Yeah.
Understanding that Donald Trump's tactic is to delay and delay and delay and mm-hmm. waste your money and waste your money and waste your money. And if anyone knows that, it's Manhattan legal people.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That, you know, maybe they're just like, you know, well, we've got other fish to fry. The state courts will get this. Atlanta will get this. Yeah, you know.
It's a lot. Maybe. It's a lot for a local DA to be able to deal with, you know, a former president. And this would be the first criminal prosecution of a former president if it were to go forward. Whoever ends up being the first to charge Donald Trump directly will be the first in American history to do something like that. And I'm not making excuses for Alvin Bragg here. I think Alvin Bragg should go where the evidence leads him. And if it just so happens that there's not enough evidence to hand down an indictment by the grand jury, then there's not enough evidence to do it. I mean, we're talking about a guy who spent the last 40, 50 years evading the law.
Yeah.
And so he knows how to do it. I mean, this is one of the things that Donald Trump is skilled in, circumventing legal comeuppance, whether it's buying off people or whatever. These are all the rumored ways that Donald Trump avoids being held legally accountable, and which he's probably trying to continue to do now. 18 cases, minus this Bragg case, if he drops it. And four of the cases in the 18 are actual criminal cases. Mm-hmm. So if we take Bragg's case off the table, there are still four other pending criminal cases against Trump, including criminal charges already handed down against the Trump Organization, as I said. And we might be able to add the National Archives theft case to that list soon, if we believe Merrick Garland and think that he may go down that road. Now, we don't know for sure, but the other day Merrick Garland said about the classified documents Donald Trump stole, found at Mar-a-Lago, is that we will do what we always do under these circumstances, look at the facts of the law and take it from there. So that was Merrick Garland's response to the classified document theft by Donald Trump. So that may be on the table too, and that's not one of the 18 things. Certainly not one of the four.
We'll look at the relevant data and do what we always do. Make concerned statements and then very little that you can see.
Yeah, and you know what? That very well might be the case. But if I'm looking at 18 different things here, with four of those being criminal cases, I'm thinking some of those things are going to stick to the wall. I wouldn't worry necessarily about Donald Trump getting away with everything. And once again, much like other, and I'm not saying I'm a prosecutor, but other prosecutors have said that the Fannie Willis investigation in Fulton County, Georgia, is a big fucking deal. That's where Trump
could
really
No one can say there's insufficient evidence there. That's an hour and 20 minutes of evidence.
Yeah, right.
Of that idiot running his mouth.
Mm-hmm. So don't worry about it. Don't start rending your garments just yet. Accountability is still on the table here. Legal comeuppance, still on the table here. I mean, many of these 18 cases are lawsuits. But still, you know, removing Donald Trump from his money and vice versa is pretty damn good as far as I'm concerned. Because Donald Trump loves him, the money.
Yeah.
Dissolving the Trump Organization would be a big fucking deal. And that's where Letitia James is headed. We know that Letitia James has already dissolved the Trump Foundation. We know that her predecessor, Eric Schneiderman, dissolved Trump University. These things are possible. Don't believe every doom tweeter on Twitter who says, oh, God, he's going to get away with everything and nothing's going to happen that's bad to him. I don't know if that's the case. I think bad
shit.
Just like
the whole thing that he's millions of dollars in debt. If you or me or Jody was millions of dollars in debt, hundreds of millions of dollars in debt, do you think we'd be able to just sit here and talk on them?
No. No. I mean, during the Great Recession, when I filed a Chapter 7, I was $300,000 in debt. It was all business debt. But I couldn't sleep at night. And that was only a teeny tiny fraction of the $590 million that Donald Trump is in debt that we know of.
Right.
So, yeah, there's a lot of shit that Donald Trump has to live with right now. And some of that shit is going to explode in his face. I still haven't ruled out seeing Donald Trump getting frog marched out of Mar-a-Lago with his stupid white golf shoes and his man boobs. It's going to happen.
And his face like the inside of an asshole.
All right. On that note, that's when we shall wrap up the free portion of the show. Getting ready to go over to the Shadow Docket on our Patreon page. That's our extra material. That's actually Act 3 of the show. So if you're listening to this show, you're only hearing the first two acts. You haven't gotten to the climax of the show yet, which happens on the Shadow Docket podcast on our Patreon page, bobseskashow.com. You want to listen, it's $5 a month. And you get for that.
And rest assured, when you do reach the climax, Bob will be sweating over you going, are you close? Are you close? Are you close?
And so, yes. What was I saying? $5 a month. $5 a month to listen to us climax on the show is what we're talking about here. And that happens twice a week. So you get, depending on the month, you get like 8 Shadow Docket shows per month for just $5. Plus, you're supporting the show. And that's the really, really important thing. If you're feeling saucy, why don't you power up to $10 a month? Then you get the Shadow Dockets. Plus, you get the Friday After Party with me and Kimberly Johnson every Friday. And people love that show. That's where the real action happens. Especially our endless discussions about our farting habits. Yeah. Actually, it was only last show that we did that. You know what we're going to do tomorrow? We're going to talk about our favorite TV theme songs. That's going to be one of the things we talk about.
Fun.
Yes, because we can't spend the whole damn show talking about Russia because Kimberly will kill me.
Yes, she will.
And we don't want that to happen. Okay, have a great weekend. We'll see you on the after party. If not, we'll see you again on Tuesday. Take care, folks. Bye-bye.